Artamsu Deva Bhagavan Mukundo Vihita Vansakshiti Deva Deva Aste Sapuryam Jaradeva Deva Vinirdita Sesanu Deva Deva accepted the sons of Prita as his kinsmen, and all the kings of the world are with Lord Sri Krishna. He is present in his home with all his family members, the kings and princes of the Jadu dynasty, who have conquered an unlimited number of rulers, and he is their lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vidura gave Dhritarashtra very good counsel regarding political alliance with the sons of Prita, the Pandavas. The first thing he said was that Lord Krishna was intimately related with them as their cousin. Because Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is worshipable by all brahmanas and demigods, who are the controllers of the universal affairs. Besides that, Lord Krishna and his family members, the royal order of the Jadu dynasty, were the conquerors of all kings of the world. The Kshatriyas used to fight the kings of various dominions and kidnap their beautiful princess daughters after conquering their relatives. This system was laudable because the Kshatriyas and their princesses would be married only on the basis of the chivalry of the conquering Kshatriya. All the young princes of the Jadu dynasty married the daughters of other kings in this way, by chivalrous force, and thus they were conquerors of all the kings of the world. Vidura wanted to impress upon his elder brother that fighting with the Pandavas was fraught with many dangers because they were supported by Lord Krishna, who had conquered, even in his childhood, demons like Kamsa and Jarasandha, and demigods like Brahma and Indra. Therefore, all universal power is behind the Pandavas. Translation again. Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, has accepted the sons of Prita as his kinsmen, and all the kings of the world are with Lord Sri Krishna. He is present in his home with all his family members, the kings and princes of the Jadu dynasty, who have conquered an unlimited number of rulers, and he is their lord. Om Ganate Namah Shiva Ganesha Shivakar Chakshurmanam Namatasam Shri Gurubindam Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitanya Namutare Swayamrupa Kadamya Virupa Swaparam Hare Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwara Vishvanu Sute Devi Kannam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Vidura is trying to negotiate here with King Dhritarashtra. And he's leading up to the point where he tells him that you are maintaining offense personified, Duryodhana, as your infallible son. But he's envious of Lord Krishna. And because you are maintaining someone who's envious of Lord Krishna, you are devoid of all good qualities. So relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible and be good to the whole family. But as we know, Dhritarashtra was blind, both physically and spiritually. And he was spiritually blind because he was attached. He was very attached to his son. And despite so many warnings, I mean, since the time that Duryodhana was born, Dhritarashtra was being warned that you should just get rid of him immediately. But he was attached. And because he was attached,
he was maintaining an offense, because Duryodhana was offense personified, as is about to be stated by Vidura. So, material attachment and offenses are very intimately related in this way. And we should know that if we also have no attachment for chanting the holy name, which is none different from the Lord, then we also must be maintaining some attachments, which is one of the offenses to the chanting of the holy name. Bhagavatam says that certainly that heart is steel framed when upon chanting the holy name of the Lord, tears do not well in the eyes, and the hair stand on end, and the body tremble all over. So we can understand our position. So what do we do if we're so offensive that we can't even experience the essential fact that Lord Krishna is non-different from his holy name? Well, we're actually very fortunate when we can come to realize and acknowledge the fact, not to dwell on it, but to acknowledge it. And if we're so offensive that we can't even experience any taste for chanting the holy name, then there is no recourse other than to take shelter of the holy name. Just as if you commit offense to a Vaishnava, you have no recourse except to take shelter of that Vaishnava, to beg forgiveness. Otherwise, Krishna will never forgive and will be cut off from his mercy. And to be cut off from the mercy of the Lord, his mercy is his devotional service, which gives love and attachment for him. If we have no love and attachment for the Lord, we have no recourse but to be attached to things of this material world. So, Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the Adi Lila chapter 8, Kaviraj Goswami in the verse says that if one does not accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he can go on chanting Hare Krishna for many, many lifetimes and never develop pure love of God. And then Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains that, qualifies it by quoting from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that accepting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means accepting the process which he has given, which for us is the process which Srila Prabhupada has given, because Mahaprabhu himself summed up all his instructions in 8 verses. But the elaboration and exposition of that philosophy was delegated to the 6 Goswamis and then the Acharyas in our line. So we can understand from this how important it is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Otherwise, we can go on chanting for so many births and never experience love of God. And Srila Prabhupada explains that even if we do have material attachment, even if we are committing offenses, that's nama parad, it's actually very easy to act on the platform of namabhas. Namabhas is a clearing stage. There's 3 stages in chanting. There's namaparad, the offensive state. And there's namabhas, the clearing stage. And then there's shuddhanam, the actual pure chanting. And Prabhupada has explained that if you simply make a serious attempt to avoid the offenses, then you're given credit for chanting namabhas. You're on the clearing stage if you're simply making a serious, concentrated effort to avoid the offenses, which means, first, you're familiar with the offenses, we recite them every morning, you should think about it. And then, as Mahaprabhu explained, we have to cultivate the creeper of a devotional service, which comes through the holy name. So bringing this into our daily sadhana, we have to first clear a space, hour and a half or 2 hours a day. We have the time in the morning program, except for the pujaris and those who have other service. We shouldn't make the chanting some subsidiary activity which we fit in whenever it's convenient, because that'll also be an offense. Because the chanting of the holy name is actually the basis of our whole process. And then we have to try to concentrate on the holy name. And then the mind's always prone to wander. That's its tendency. We have to maintain constant vigilance, which is hard work. But wide is the road and open is the gate which goes to destruction, and most people take that path. The path to perfection is very narrow and straight and difficult, and not many people will be found there. But the fact is, if we don't make that effort to very consciously overcome the offenses, then what we're going to find is that we lose the taste not only for the holy name, but for devotional service in general. And therefore you see practically that when devotees are not attentive in their japa, in their sadhana, then over the years they lose their taste. They begin to wonder, why? I'm not going anywhere. I'm just stuck in the mud. This process doesn't work. It's not that the process doesn't work. We have to follow the process strictly and seriously. So if you're not getting a taste, then you're either going to leave the movement or start making systematic arrangements for sense gratification, which doesn't go well with devotional service. Prabhupada said that trying to cultivate devotional service and sense gratification is like trying to start a fire while you're pouring water on it. And he elaborated on that with an analogy one time. He said, chanting, while, you know, not being vigilant and serious about uprooting the offenses and the material attachments, is like trying to cook a meal with smoke. And then he told a story about a yogi who apparently made his livelihood by going around visiting rich men and bragging about how he could stay in an ice-cold stream all night, submerged in water up to his neck, and not be cold. So he went to one rich man and started bragging, and the rich man said, well, I'd like to see that, and I'll give you so much money if you do it. So he said, okay. And then he went out and he jumped in the stream and stayed there all night in the bitter cold winter. And then he came to the rich man in the morning and said, well, I did it. Now, where's my reward? Where's my dakshin? And the man said, you cheated. What do you mean I cheated? He said, on the top of the dome, on the top of my house, there's a bamboo pole which has a ghee wick on the top of it. And you were taking heat from that fire. You were cheating. You were taking heat from my ghee lamp, which is about half a mile away, and warming yourself with that. So I'm not going to pay you because you cheated. And then the yogi got all angry, and the man just shut the door. So then the yogi went to the man's servant and said, look, what your master did is not very good. You should talk to him. He said, I cheated, but I didn't cheat. How can I take warmth from a ghee lamp half a mile away on the top of the bamboo pole, on the top of the dome, on the top of his house? That's ridiculous. And the servant said, yeah, you're right. I'll talk to him. Well, he knew he couldn't talk to him because he was proud. So then one day the rich man told his servant, we have a mission, an important mission tomorrow. Got to take a long journey. So get up early and, you know, cook your breakfast and do whatever you're going to do. And right at the crack of dawn, we're going to leave. And don't be late. So, okay. So the rich man got up, cooked his breakfast, and was all ready to go, and the servant didn't come. And he waited and waited. Finally got so angry, he went to the servant's house. Said, what's the matter? What are you doing? He said, I'm cooking my breakfast. Well, I told you to do that first thing in the morning. He said, well, I did, but it's not done yet. Well, what's the problem? And then he looked, and there he's got a big tripod about 4 feet high with a pot 4 feet off the ground, and on the floor he had a ghee lamp. And the smoke was going up to the bottom of the pot. He said, "What are you doing? You're just cooking with smoke. You're never going to cook your meal that way." And he said, "Oh, really? Well, then how could the yogi be taking warmth from the ghee lamp on the top of the bamboo pole on the top of the dome on the top of your house from half a mile away? I mean, if he could do that, then surely this will cook my meal." And then the man got the idea, said, "Yeah." And then he paid him. So the point is, if we're chanting with offenses, we're not going to get the devotional energy we need to sustain us in the battle against Maya. Because as soon as Maya sees that you're serious about chanting Hare Krishna, she's going to make all arrangements for you to be deviated. Well, you shouldn't, you know. Yeah, you should actually be excited about that, you know, because we all have some kind of chivalrous nature. It's something to look forward to, some excitement. Maya's actually got a very important function. She keeps rascals out of the kingdom of God. That's why Vaikuntha is such a nice place, because nobody there has any selfish desires, no material attachments, no offenses. They're all purely devoted to Krishna's pleasure. And therefore, everybody is perfectly happy and content. And they have that taste that we're all hankering after. So, even though we're not on that pure stage, we have to concentrate on hearing the holy name. Not chant the holy name while we're, you know, planning our day or talking to somebody or cooking in the kitchen. But there should be a time set aside, just like a garden. Mahaprabhu said you take the creeper and you put it in the garden, you build a fence around it to guard it from any antagonistic elements. Well, you know, just take that into your daily japa. Same analogy. We have to guard that tender creeper so it's not destroyed. And the worst is the mad elephant offense, criticizing, blaspheming the devotees. Because there's always a tendency that familiarity breeds contempt. You know, you live with these people for a few years and you start seeing all their faults and forgetting their glorious qualities. That how many people in all the world are dedicating themselves to the service of the Lord? You tend to forget that by the influence of Maya and focus on their bad points. And then you wonder why you're not getting any taste from the chanting of the holy name. Well, you know, Durvasa Muni got some real good instructions when he finally realized he should take shelter of the Lord, and the Lord told him he couldn't give him shelter. He said, "My devotees are more dear to me than my very heart, because they have nothing but me in their heart, I have nothing but them in my heart. And since you offended my devotee, there's nothing I can do to help you. I'm under their control." So then he got the idea, and he went back to Ambarish Maharaj and begged forgiveness. Of course, he never took it as an offense in the first place. He thought himself offensive, that he was disrespectful to a guest. So that's humility. And that's actually the symptom of proper chanting. When one actually develops love of God, the symptom is that he doesn't feel like he's got love of God. He feels like everybody's serving Krishna better than himself. And such a person doesn't criticize. Blasphemy of the devotees is the first and worst of all the offenses. So, even Namabhas, it's not pure chanting. It's a glimmer. It's like a reflection. Haridas Thakur gave the analogy when he was staying with Balaramacharya, the priest of the Majumdars, who were the father and uncle of Raghunath Das, who was an infant at the time, later to be Raghunath Das Goswami. They had a big assembly of brahmanas and pandits, scholars and gentlemen, discussing the glories of the holy name. And in that discussion was mentioned that Haridas Thakur chants 300,000 names daily. And then Balaramacharya brought him into the assembly. And the scholars and brahmanas and pandits had concluded that the holy name is so glorious that it destroys all sinful reactions, that it grants liberation. And they asked Haridas, "What do you have to say about that?" He said, "Well, Shudanam doesn't do that. the destruction of sinful activities and the granting of liberation is the effect of Namabhas, the glimmer of the holy name. It's like when the sun's below the horizon, but the sky is starting to light up. Then you lose all your fear of ghosts and evil spirits, and you wake up and start going about your service, your natural function. So that's Namabhas. When the sun actually comes up, then everything is illuminated brightly. So Namabhas destroys all the fears and demons of doubt and envy and material attachment and offenses. But it's just a glimmer. It's the actual holy name, Shudanam, is pure love of God. So when he explained that in detail and how, you know, one who has love of God, he considers liberation unacceptable and won't even not take it if Krishna offers it, considering that the bliss of one drop of pure bhakti is so unlimitedly vast that all the joy of Brahmananda becomes as insignificant as the water in a hoof's calf, in a calf's hoof print. And then there was one great logician, great pandit in the Pseudo-Vedantic school of Shankar and that assembly. And when he heard that, he just lost his temper. He said, "What? What is this emotional devotee saying? That liberation, mukti, which the great philosophers strive for millions of births, but even one in perfect knowledge is somewhat doubtful of actually acquiring it, is obtained and surpassed by a dim glimmer of the holy name of Krishna? Why, that's absurd. Are you going to listen to that?" And Haridas said, "Why are you doubting?" And he gave so many examples. Ajamil, you know, he was just calling his son, but he went to Vaikuntha because his son happened to be named Narayan, and so many other examples. And then the Brahmin was so furious, he said, "If by Namabhas one cannot attain liberation, then I will cut off your nose." And Haridas said, "Well, you don't have to. If by Namabhas one cannot be liberated, I'll cut off my own nose." And by that time, the assembly was such an uproar that he just had to leave. And then they fired that brahmana from his post, and the priest told him, "Look, you just blasphemed Haridas Thakur, now you're in a very dangerous condition." And then they found out 3 days later that this very, very beautiful brahmana who had toes and fingers like champak buds and very beautiful facial features, he was melting away from leprosy, because leprosy is specifically a disease which is a result of offenses. And his nose fell off, because he cursed Haridas Thakur that his nose would fall off, but Haridas was under the shelter of the holy name. You know, Brahmana's curses have no effect whatsoever. So it came back to him, and his own nose fell off. And then everybody saw, yeah, I guess what Haridas said is true. And then there were so many other examples. So, pramada, inattentive chanting, we have to guard against. When we actually develop a little love for Krishna, then you can't stop thinking about Krishna. But to get that love, we have to concentrate on our sadhana, concentrate on our chanting, be attentive. Otherwise, if we're not very attentive, it means we're maintaining offenses. Just like here, Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra, "You're in a very dangerous condition. You're maintaining offense." Duryodhana, personified. "And you will be bereft of all good fortune. So relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible and do good to the whole family." So there's so many wonderful, glorious things to say about the holy name. Anything, any results achieved by meditation in the Satyayuga, by sacrifice in the Treta Yuga, by worship in the Dvapara Yuga, can all be achieved with much more as well in the Kali Yuga, simply by chanting of the holy name, which is beneficial not only for one who chants, but even one who hears. Advaitacharya was feeling great pain seeing the suffering of the living entities in this world, so he prayed for the Lord to come down. And when the Lord came down and saw the condition, he was also feeling great pain, and he asked Haridas Thakur, what can be done to deliver these people? And Haridas said, these people are already delivered. Not only the people, and when he says people, he's talking about, you know, animals, fish, trees, creepers, grass, everything. They've all been delivered by the sound of your kirtan, which makes all moving living entities dance in ecstasy. And then when the non-moving living entities hear it, it sounds like there's an echo. But it's not really an echo. That's the kirtan of the non-moving living entities. All this, although inconceivable, is possible by your mercy. And the Lord tried to, not my, oh no, I heard about it from Balabhadra, about your trip through Jarikanda, how the elephants were dancing with their feet up in the air, paws, whatever, how the tigers were embracing the deer and kissing them, how the trees and creepers were bowing down at your lotus, to touch your lotus feet and crying tears of honey. And that kirtan penetrated throughout the vaults of the entire universe and has liberated everyone in it. So you don't need to lament about how they're to be delivered. They already are. But this is just a fraction of your glory. And then Lord Chaitanya, okay, stop, that's enough. Anyways, how does Haridas know all this? How does he understand? And Haridas said, that's nothing. And then he spoke words, which is just very much like Brahma's own words, because he is Brahma. By the empiric process, one may be able to count all the grains of sand in all the beaches of the world, or all the drops of water in all the oceans in the universe, or all the molecules in the creation. That's possible, empirically. But to understand the qualities of Krishna by any empiric endeavor is out of the question. So, the glories of Krishna is revealed to the soul by the spiritual process of chanting the holy name. So the same opportunity which was available 500 years ago, when everyone in the universe went back, was liberated, even those who opposed the Lord, even those who conspired against him and attacked him, they were all delivered. What to speak of those who loved him and served him and chanted his holy name? So where were we, bound up in what universe in the shackles of ignorance at that time, to miss that previous opportunity? But the opportunity is still here, and the means is the same. There's just one little condition added, that you have to avoid the offenses and give up material attachment, just as Vidura here is instructing Dhritarashtra. And then there will be all good fortune. As Prahlad prayed, may there be good fortune throughout all the universe, and may all vicious, envious elements be pacified. May they all take the devotional service, because only then will they think of each other's welfare. May we all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendent Lord, Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in loving thoughts of him. O Lord Nrisimhadev, you have nails and teeth like thunderbolts. Kindly vanquish these demon-like desires for material activities in our hearts and make them pure and clean. So like that, we should pray, not for anything material, Bhagavatam does not allow any requests of fruitive or speculative sort to be added to our prayers, but we should simply pray for pure devotional service. The Lord's own internal potency. And that is the taste for which we're really hankering. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions? Yes. Well, we have to understand what's our most important service. What's the basis of our service? What's the most essential aspect of devotional service? Is chanting the holy name. So if we think that we have to, you know, finish our chanting so we can get on with our service, we're missing the whole point. Because the chanting is the basis of our service. You know, we're not going to be able, we won't stay in devotional service if we're not chanting properly. So, and Prabhupada said you have to arrange your day in such a way that you'll remember Krishna, and that means that you have the proper time for your japa and your sadhana without being distracted by other demands at that time. Well, it depends on your mentality. You know, if you're trying to do it, then Krishna helps those who help themselves. If you're just being careless, then you're maintaining offense. If you're doing the best you can and trying to do it properly, then that's the same thing we were saying before. Even if there is offense, if you're trying to overcome the offense, overcome the obstacle, then you're giving credit for Namavas. So if you're really trying to pronounce properly, then Krishna will help you and he'll overlook any deficiencies. But if you're just being careless, that's another thing. I mean, there's you know, 16 words and 32 syllables in the Maha Mantra. We have to be careful to chant them all. Because every syllable is one part of the whole devotional process. If we leave out any part, then we don't get the right result. Well, they go together. I mean, Prabhupada said, you concentrate on the hearing, but he also said the quality should be like a child calling out for mother. Or as Madhavendra Puri set the example, a spirit of love sickness, meaning feeling. And then Queen Kunti gives the opposite. Those who are proud of their lineage, their birth, their wealth, their beauty, whatever, they can't chant with feeling because once again they're attached. But if we're humble, not maintaining pride, then our attachment can be easily transferred to Krishna. You should consider who's the most capable person to deal with this. And the most capable person to deal with the actual difficulty, with an actual problem, is one who's not of a fault-finding mentality. Now, if you got to report some complaint, first of all, don't do it to someone who's got a critical kind of mentality, because then it just turns into gossip and it just escalates the whole thing. And one who doesn't have a critical mentality, we have to understand that anybody who's in the temple, they're special in some way or other. So from the managerial point of view, you know, if somebody's causing a disturbance, making it hard for others to do their service or whatever, you know, the mentality shouldn't be how to get rid of this person, how to rightly situate this person. It's best for himself and others. So, you know, everything can be seen from a positive viewpoint if we have the right attitude. And the right attitude is how to please Krishna, how to please Prabhupada, by assisting everyone engaging in devotional service. Well, that was my... Yeah. Well, the best example of that is Madhai. Yeah. Jagai and Madhai, they were forgiven all their offenses and given the holy name, but of the two, Madhai had a terrible time after that. You know, reports were coming to Lord Chaitanya. He won't take prasadam. I mean, all he could do is cry day and night. You know, his mind was just flooded with, you know, images of, you know, men dying in agony and children without a father and, you know, insulted women and so many things. He was so tormented by guilt, he couldn't eat, and he was killing himself, literally. So then, and Lord Chaitanya couldn't console him at all. So then he got the idea. He had to go to Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda gave me instruction that, because that's exactly the point he was saying, I can't even remember all the people I have offended. I mean, and you know, most of them are dead, because if anybody offended, you know. So what do I do? And he told him, you should serve the Ganges by building a bathing ghat. And that way you'll be serving the pilgrims. People come to the Ganges to get purified. So you help them. You assist them, you serve them. And that'll be your atonement. Because the Ganges washes away all sins. So he took that order right to heart. By himself, he built this big bathing ghat. And then he'd just stand there and beg forgiveness from everybody who came for any offense, knowing or unknowing, and would serve them. So the point is, you know, if we don't know, if we're concerned with some offenses that we can't remember, the person's not to be found or dead and gone or something, then Krishna explains that in devotional service, Bhagavatam explains that in devotional service, the only atonement really needed is you continue your devotional service. So, you know, if the opportunities are not there, then you just go on with your service. And all offenses are burned up in the fire of devotion and all impurities. Well, that's where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is so essential. Because worship of Radha and Krishna is for liberated souls anyway. You know, one who has the slightest trace of kama in his heart cannot understand what prema is. what love, pure love is, what pure devotional service is. So Lord Chaitanya is glorified by Rupa Goswami as being more magnanimous than any avatar, even Krishna himself, because he gives Krishna prema freely through the chanting of the holy name. The chanting of the holy name, and that's why Mahaprabhu, although you know, he came, his mula karna, internal reason for coming, is to give pure devotional service, spontaneous devotion, I mean, practice it himself and share it with the world. But how can he share that with the world? That's for liberated souls. Therefore, he propagated Harinam Sankirtan, which is applicable to conditioned souls and works on even the most sinful of all sinners and very quickly purifies the heart. The holy name is so merciful. Yes. You should be tolerant, which means you don't take insult. You honor even those who insult you. You know, the most essential of all the eight verses of Shikshastakam is Trinadapi Sunijena. More humble than the grass, which means when you step on it, it bows down. More tolerant than the tree. You take the fruit, break off the branches, cut the tree down, kill it, and even when it's dying, it's giving you shelter, fuel. So that's the way a devotee is supposed to be. Even if you're being cut and attacked, you're just thinking, how can I serve this person? That's the devotee's mentality. Even the worst demon, they're thinking, how can this person become a devotee?
Thus ends the recording of this lecture.